The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around Jesus and said to Jesus, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I received an interesting letter recently. And maybe you've received a few letters like this in your lifetime. The letter I received was from the administrator of my pension fund. And it was a very official looking letter. Had a nice letterhead. It started off with a whole bunch of financial mumbo-jumbo about rates of return, market index, global geopolitical issues, all sorts of stuff that I generally don't get. Then it had some nice graphs and some nice tables, all sorts of things. But what really caught my eye, what really stuck to me, was a sentence that concluded the letter. It said, "By our records, you," that you being me, Sheldon, "are able to retire in the year 2034. That's 27 years from now. I was at my kitchen table, and I started to think a little bit, which is probably not a very good idea. And I started to think, you know, 27 years, that's a long time. I'm only 31 years old, that's almost my whole lifetime. And I started thinking to myself, retirement in 2034, 27 years from now, what will the world look like? Where will Laura Lee and I live? What will our retirement plans be? What kind of things will we want to do? Where will our child or our children be living? How much will things cost? In 27 years, we still have our health. Will we own a house? What will our goals for life together be like? In what ways will we serve the church and serve the world? What will the church and the world look like in 27 years' time? Or maybe Christ will return again for the second coming and this will all be for nothing. But I had a bit of fear, a bit of anxiety. There's a lot of unknowns out there in 27 years. Global warming, terrorism, war, health, finances, all sorts of things can creep up on you. The fact of the matter is that fear is a very real human emotion. We all experience fear in our lives. Some fear are fears that are just out there. Fears about the future. Fears about our health. Fears about war. Fears about terrorism. Fears about climate change, global warming. Fears about the economy. Fears about the state of our communities. These are fears that are just out there. Somewhere in the distance. General fears. Fears that most people share. And then some fears are more personal. Some fears involve the here and the now. Maybe right now you're waiting for results back from the lab test that the doctor ordered. Maybe you're fearful what those results will say. Maybe you're fearful right now of something your children are doing, of choices they are making. Maybe right now you're fearful of crime, inflation. There's all sorts of things that can cause us fear in the here and now. We can be gripped by fear. Fear can cause us to make bad decisions. Decisions that hurt other people, decisions that might hurt ourselves. It can cause our institutions, our corporations, our churches to make bad decisions. Fear can be a very scary thing. Fear is very real. Truth be told, Satan likes to trade in fear as well. Because Satan knows when we're fearful, when we're worried, when we suffer from anxiety, our hearts turn inward. We start to think about ourselves first. We start to think about our own needs, what will serve us best. How do we get ahead? How do we make sure that we have enough? How do we make sure that we're cared for? Life becomes a competition. Who can amass the most wealth? Who can have the most things? The most prestige, the most honor, the most accolades. This is contrary to the gospel. In fear, we look at the world and see 6 billion people and we say, we want to be number one out of 6 billion. The gospel says, out of 6 billion people, to put yourself last. But for those of us who live with fear, for those of us who might find ourselves up late at night worrying about something, for those of us who are often cautious when it comes to making decisions, today we hear a word of hope, a word of good news from Christ. Today Christ tells us that we are His people and that nothing can snatch us from God. Christ is our shepherd, we are His flock, and Christ is one with God. And Christ says, no one can snatch us away from His Father in heaven. We are unsnatchable. We do not need to live in fear. For the thing that ultimately is most important to us, our greatest treasure, is not our health, is not our bank accounts, is not our homes. Our ultimate treasure is our salvation in heaven. And that has been seen to by our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ says, no one can take that away from you. No one can snatch it away. We have been liberated from fear. We have been freed from living fearful lives. Now, this isn't to say that bad things will never happen to you, that the doctor will never have a bad news diagnosis, that you'll never experience poor financial times, that your children won't make troubling decisions, that you won't make troubling decisions. That's not the case at all. For we live in this world, and we too are affected by the environment. We too are affected by war, by terrorism, by market conditions. We don't live separate from those things. They affect us. But none of those things can snatch us away from the love of God. Your boss might walk into your office at work, and she might say to you, John, we have no more work for you. But she cannot say to you, John, we have no more God for you. Your spouse might leave with another partner, but your spouse cannot take God with them. Your doctor might walk into the exam room. She might shrug her shoulders and say, there's nothing we can do. We need to give up. But your doctor cannot say, God is giving up on you. Our ultimate reality, our ultimate destiny has been prepared for us by Jesus Christ. This is how we are liberated from fear, sin, death, the devil. Not through our actions, but we are liberated from these things by the empty tomb. And we are called to live fearless lives, to realize that God has an ultimate plan for us. And that plan is to live in eternity with Him in heaven. And Christ asks of us that to be His people, we listen for His voice. And that's our prayer as Christians. That's our prayer as the church, that we will discern the will of God, that we will listen for the voice of Christ in this world, in the needs of our neighbor, in the needs of our communities. However we can bring our gifts to bear, we are called to listen for how God is asking us to use them. How that looks in your lives is different for everyone, for we all have different gifts to share. We've all been charged with different ministries, but we're all called to work together to be God's people. We are called to live those fearless lives. That can be difficult. That can be tough. Because we're inundated with messages daily. You will not have enough. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. But we're called to chart the course. To chart the course with our shepherd. He is leading, and we are called to follow. And when you follow something, you don't always know where it's going. And to be sure, Christ can lead us into some scary and fearful places. He can lead us to people that we may generally not necessarily want to associate with. He can lead us into programs. He can lead us into all sorts of areas that might cause fear within us. But thankfully, we've been given a power beyond us. And that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we look at the early church, Christ had died. The tomb was empty. The cross was barren. And what did Christ's disciples do? They hid in fear. They hid on a boat. They hid in an upper room. But they lived in fear. And every time that they turned towards their fear, every time their hearts turned inward as they were worried about themselves and their futures and their safety and security, Christ shows up. And Christ challenges them to get into the world, to roll up their sleeves and get to the business of the gospel. That's what Christ does in our lives. When our hearts turn inwards, when we start to live by fear, Christ shows up in our lives. And to us, Christ says, roll up your sleeves. Get into the world. I love you. I care about you. No one will snatch you away. No ultimate harm will come to you. For I have seen to your final destination. That is our calling. To live these fearless lives. We are told that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not sin, not death, not the devil, nothing. Our challenge, our calling, is to live lives that show that. Amen.